Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Courtney Cronin for Cap, I'm J-Hood. We'll open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Courtney, great to see you here on this Friday morning. The weekend is here.
It's going to be nice this weekend. I'm going to the Cubs game this weekend. The draft is soon. Everything's kind of shaping up right now.
That's right. We have had this crawl through glass to finally get here after the regular season, after the Super Bowl, and finally the draft is here. And we'll talk about it in just a moment. However, I would like to be able to address this with the audience. You know, it's funny, like the new podcast that Courtney has is Courtney Cronin Finds Out, similar to the Pablo Torre podcast. But I think the Courtney Cronin podcast would be CC Finds Out. So we're talking before the show about Taylor Swift. A subject that you and I know nothing about. We know who she is.
Zero.
We know what she does. But as far as her discography, all the music that she... I mean, like, there's some things we know, but a lot of things we don't know about what she's doing. But I didn't know she has a new album that just dropped.
I found this out when I woke up this morning to group chats that I am not going to be a participant in for the next probably 4 or 5 days as they dissect what every song meant. And I guess there was a double album. Shay, can you confirm?
I can confirm. Yeah. She dropped the 17 song album at midnight Eastern last night, and then at 2 a.m. dropped the 31 song version of it.
All right, so 17 plus 31 is 48?
Well, it's 31 songs. Like, this 31 song version had the first 17 plus what's the difference? 14?
Sure. I don't do math.
That's a triple album.
14 bonus tracks, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a triple album, Jay Moore. That is correct. Now, again, the name of the new album is what now?
The Tortured Poets Department. Look at Courtney. She's already upset about it.
No, it's just, I don't know how you have that much to talk about. Like, I was just a very, like, benign scrolling through Spotify because I wanted to see the length of each song. And as I was pointing out to you, Shay, like, I couldn't find one that was less than 3 minutes and 30 seconds on average. There was one that I passed through talking about, like, she can fix him. I don't know. I'm just paraphrasing here.
That sounds interesting. Nonetheless.
I feel like we talk about that, like, in Chicago sports all the time. I mean, she could be talking about one of our teams here. But no, like, all these songs are long. How are you putting together a 31-song double album when you're touring, you're dating one of the most famous NFL players in, you know, in this era? Like, how do you do all these things? I guess I'm feeling maybe insecure because I don't think I could multitask like that.
Okay. Well, that doesn't sound right, especially if you know Courtney Cronin, the Courtney Cronin of ESPN 1000, the Courtney Cronin of the Bears podcast, the Courtney Cronin of the Bears beat, the Courtney Cronin of Around the Horn, the Courtney Cronin of Best Week Ever on ESPN Radio. Hold on, I'm not done because there's more. The Courtney Cronin of BET. The Courtney Cronin of House and Garden TV. You do all these things. The Courtney Cronin of Nickelodeon.
Tubi.
Also on Tubi. Hey! On Tubi. This is Courtney Cronin, right? So I just find it absolutely ironic coming from you. Haji has so much to talk about. You're on the air for 50 hours a week.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? You're going after her. Like, how does she do that for 3-4 minutes? Have you seen your content?
I'm not selling out football stadiums every single night internationally and performing. That's a marathon stretch of what she does. Those 3-4 hour performances. I'm not on like that.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
Like, you're not?
Not like that for 4 hours at a time. Yeah, like a 4 hour radio show, a little different than a 4 hour concert in Berlin and then flying to, Japan, flying to the Super Bowl. When does she have time to write these things?
Courtney, you're Taylor.
I just want to know.
Courtney, you're Taylor Swift. The only difference is you've got commercials.
Live reads.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only difference.
She doesn't shout out Progressive Insurance in the middle of her songs.
No. But ultimately, you're her.
Courtney, yep, you're the Taylor Swift of ESPN.
I don't mean to call out your W-2s here this in the shadow of tax season, but I mean, that's a lot. She does a lot, and so do you.
I appreciate this. I don't know if it's a backhanded compliment or what, but I appreciate it. But I just, how do you have, I'd like to ask her fans, because I'm not in this world. It's the one thing, one of many things I don't dabble in.
Yeah.
And how, is it the same subject matter over and over again, just sounds a little different each time? Why is it enjoyable?
Like Bears news.
Yeah.
Or in this cycle until we get to the draft.
Exactly. Same thing over and over again.
What are we going to do with the number 9 pick?
Did you write 31 songs about that?
Wait, Courtney, we've done 80 days of radio about it.
I see the parallels. I'm not completely blind to that. I see the parallels between Bears talk and the same subject matter for 5 months, more or less.
We're living her life. In a lot of ways,
yeah,
right?
But a lot of times I don't enjoy living that cycle over and over again. She seems to really like this. And I was unaware. I thought this was going to be the album once I saw it this morning. I'm like, Tortured Poets, that doesn't sound like a happy person talking about her lovely, soon-to-be fiancé, as everybody thinks, Travis Kelce. She's apparently two cycles behind talking about which ex, Shay? You've got to educate me on this. I don't know anything about her dating history.
He's an actor, Joe Alwyn. I won't get in the weeds, but they were together for a long time. I think there was a thing where they wanted to get married. She was living in London for a little bit.
Offensive lineman, right?
Yeah. Joe Alwyn, Notre Dame, left tackle. So they broke up. It might have been 2 years ago now, and this was the breakup album.
Okay, so she's 2 years behind. When does she get to start writing songs about Travis Kelce and being happy?
That would be the next album.
Fall of 2026. Yeah.
So okay. She's got kind
of
a cycle.
So by the time the Bears Stadium is up, she'll have time the shovel goes in the dirt on the lakefront.
I love Chicago.
What will happen first, the Travis Kelce love album or a shovel in the dirt in Arlington Heights? 312.
Put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. What's the first thing to happen? Bears Stadium, shovel in the ground. Or that album. Let's do that. Let's put that out there and see how that comes back.
My wife is a Swiftie, so she's brought me under the umbrella. I was listening to the album this morning. But she does. She's got a cycle. She'll do the I'm Happy and in Love album, and then inevitably the relationship ends, and she'll do the breakup album. And that's kind of the cycle that these things work in.
Did she not just put out a very lengthy album, though, recently?
Yeah.
Yes.
Before this one.
Yeah, it was 11 months ago or something like that.
See, again, how do you have that much new content in that stretch to then put out another double album? That's what I don't understand.
You know, Courtney,
efficiency is insane.
So
what's her net rating?
Wow. I don't know.
We gotta get her PER.
I would put it on ESPN.com, but then it would say that she's day to day. I won't do that. But Courtney, here's the thing. We give her credit for cranking out that kind of content, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you notice, I guess based on the titles and some of the music that we've heard, she delves into the dark, the negativity, her life experiences. And so she makes a song. I'm a big Prince fan, and Prince still has albums that have not been released. I was there in suburban Minneapolis to see his place. It looks like his complex, Courtney, is four.
I've been.
It's you've been there. So it's four different Home Depots.
Yeah. It's a very nondescript office park.
Yes. That's right. It was fun. I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed the grind. You think that guy would have, a few things to say. Yeah, a ton. Apparently he still has stuff out there. And so for her, I guess it's just kind of look, life experiences, if I talk about men in a negative light or my relationships, I could just write forever. I guess so. I mean, if you're with someone for, a year, you can get some material out of that. You just write diaries.
You think she's using AI on some of those?
That's a great question.
Hmm.
I mean, the Beatles did. You know,
the Beatles used AI. Yeah,
they used AI on the last record that was just put out. I think the beginning of last year.
Well, so they had the Beatles had a song that they wrote. Like I think John wrote it, right, Jay Moore?
Yes.
And so, like, they had all the pieces, but they had John's vocal, and so Paul used AI to get George Harrison's guitar, and like Ringo played drums
Scary
on
world.
It. Yeah, they used AI to put it together and release it.
I'll say this about Taylor Swift, as, you know, compared to, see, I a world I know nothing about compared to a world that I do tap into quite
yes.
a bit, which is the rap beef that's currently going on.
Yes.
The things that she is singing about are things that she actually goes through, though,
yes.
unlike a lot of today's rappers who are either using experiences that they lived long ago before they became corporate or just are falsifying the things that they are talking about. But so I can appreciate her for doing that.
I would say a lot of the latter when it comes to rapping. I say a lot of the latter. I think it's borrowed material.
Sure.
Because and
shared experiences among the community.
Stolen. That's how we usually say that. Stolen. We say that in the country. So I would say, and Jay Moore, you would say this as well. And listen, you know, we can always go back and forth about eras in sports, but the same thing with music in that regard with rapping. Look. There are people that went through a lot of experiences, real experiences in New York or in the South or whatever, where they could actually rap about it and tell a story versus what you have right now, which are just borrowed, stolen experiences just to be able to lay a track down over it. Big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. I mean, there were actual long stories that were told in the 80s and 90s, was it not?
It was a lot. A lot of stories.
Yeah. Like real stories. And telling the story of what happened in the streets versus the mumble rap that we get today. I know I sound old when I say that, but some of it is.
That's right. Drop it, give me 50.
Well, Hoodie, like, honestly, going back to Courtney's question about why the Taylor Swift stuff's compelling, even though it's kind of the same subject matter over and over again.
Yes.
To your point about, like, storytelling's lost in some of the genres of music, I do think that's what keeps her compelling, is at least she is telling stories, and it's individual, and it's relatable, and it's, like, real, rather than mumble rap to not be... I don't know if that's the right term, but you know what I mean.
It
like
is.
What you're talking about.
It is the mumble rap.
Yeah. I would say that the Rick Ross, the diss track that he just put out on Drake is relatable, because how many people do you know
Drake?
Are shading each other for BBLs, liposuction,
yes.
body augmentation?
Yes.
That's a very real thing.
Yes.
I did not have a BBL reference on my open bingo card.
Let me tell you, Shay. Refreshing to hear BBL out of that chair. Refreshing.
What's a BBL? Hold on, let me look it up.
Let me look that up. Oh, the computer blocked me. Oh, hey, I'll check my phone. All right, BBL. Oh, God. That's good. All right. Well, anyway, the Expos. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Coming up next, 1 week from today, we will know the results of the Bears' first round. We have some ideas about the number 9 pick. You want to get your phone calls in as well on the Bears. With Courtney Cronin and Jonathan Hood with you, Captain Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10, BBL.
Captain Jay Hood, I'm back.
Oh, Cap. Jay Hood, big fan, man.
Pop, 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 pop.
Watch out, fellas.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Here's hoping that you're going to have a great Friday and a great weekend. The Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney Cronin is in for Cap. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Courtney, I agree with you. I cannot wait till we get to the draft so we can have some kind of understanding of what the Bears are going to do with the number 9 pick. It is interesting, before we get there, to talk about what the Bears have done in the offseason. It's interesting when you watch good teams, teams that are perennial playoff teams, are always hovered around the Super Bowl, their offseasons are never a surprise to you or to me. It's like, oh, look at the movement. Look at what they had to do. They realize that they are a player away, two, three players away, three or four positions away, and they were able to fill it, sonically, because that's what good organizations do. I'm just telling you that what the Bears have done here in the offseason, plugging in at the wide receiver position, plugging in at the running back position, looking at what they've done, trying to bolster and at least give depth to the offensive line, taking care of the free safety position, doing those things, that's normally not what the Bears do. historically. They don't have that many moves before we get to the draft. So I will want to give Poles a lot of credit for being able to look at this and say, yeah, I see the holes we have to fill, and I'm going to do my best to fill them.
Yeah. I mean, from the start of free agency, too. Yep. When it became obvious, even before the trade happened with Justin Fields, but it started to become obvious that they were going to have a new quarterback, that they wanted to have a good situation mm-hmm. for the number one overall pick to come into, they were active. And they haven't stopped being active, too. I mean, there's a lot of intrigue around this number nine pick, and it's the most intriguing pick because it's the least talked about number nine pick, or number 10, top 10 pick among, like, national fodder about what teams are going to do. But here it's of critical importance that it's a player who comes in right away and adds to the intrigue that you get from a Keenan Allen, from a DeAndre Swift, from Kevin Byard, like from all of these other pieces that have been brought in to solidify certain units on this team. This pick is going to be looked at that way. Like, what unit are you coming to upgrade? Is it on the offensive line, which I think is probably, I'm starting there and kind of working my way backwards. Mm-hmm. That to me feels like a longer shot, just given how I expect that the board to fall, with Joe Alt going at 7 and then probably having a gap before you see another offensive lineman again. Or is it then going to be a defensive end that's an immediate impact sort of player, or what I think is going to happen, a wide receiver who, again, like the way that this roster is turned over at a lot of positions in the last 4 months, that's what good teams do. That's what teams that have a plan do. And it's, you can say whatever you want about their, you know, how this last season finished, the strategy, whether you're happy they kept Eberflus or not, whatever it is, you can't deny that they had a plan that they followed pretty much to a T throughout this offseason to get to where they are now, 6 days away from round one.
Yeah, I like what they've been able to do, being able to put those pieces in. But at 9, I wonder about what Poles is thinking, because I feel like, am I crazy? I feel like he can be able to get someone at 9 and can't miss. We could see, as you just laid out, whether it's on the left side, you know, whether it's on the defensive line, that's one thing. Whether it's the offensive line, whether it's a wide receiver, I feel like that at 9, he can get quality, and that person could be able to work for this team. I don't feel like this is going to be just some stretch that the Bears have to take. Now, I will say this. I've been saying on the show that I would rather for the Bears to move down or trade down and get multiple picks, because I think they could do more, having maybe 6 picks, maybe 7 mm-hmm. picks, who knows. But at 9, if they stay solid at 9, I feel like they can get someone quality that can play for them and work for them quickly.
It's a top 10 pick. They should be able to. Mm-hmm. When you think of best player available and that strategy that's used in the first round, like, when does best player available kind of run out? It's usually around like pick number 13, 14, maybe to 15. Before then, you can make a justification for any player at that point in the first round and not be considered a quote-unquote overdraft. But given this receiver talent in the draft, how deep this group is, I know that there was a mock draft that I've referenced quite a bit from a couple weeks ago. It was either Mel or Field Yates that did it. There were 18 receivers taken in the first two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. In any other year, Roma Dunze, who I think the Bears will have in their grasp at number 9, he's probably the top receiver off the board. Last 2 years he would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And if that player is available to you at 9, how can you look past that and say, no, let's move back? Like, because first off, you have to – I'm not convinced that there's going to be a willing trade partner to move up to 9. Unless the only way I see that is that if teams think that the run on tackles is about to start – but there could still be 5 tackles taken, 5-6 tackles taken in the first round alone. So if you're the Saints, or if you're a little bit further down, anywhere from like 14 to 19, are you really going to want to make that jump up to 9? You're not making the jump up for a quarterback.
Right.
Top 4 are gone. Michael Penix and Bo Nix will be available to a Denver, a Las Vegas Raiders team. Like, that will be there sitting, waiting, if that's the position that they want to go. Mm-hmm. I don't see... the way that it lays out right now, I don't see a team that's going to be chomping at the bit to get to 9, which then makes the decision easy for the Bears to sit there, to take the best player available. And if that's a receiver, you're doing everything that the plan required you to do to put the quarterback that you're bringing in the best situation for success early on.
Yeah, I can agree with that because of Keenan Allen, the acquisition of getting Keenan Allen. Look, I was excited that Keenan Allen's a Chicago Bear, but I also know, because I've seen Keenan Allen play, we might not see him for maybe I don't know. He might play 14 games, maybe 13 games. Hopefully it's more than that. Hopefully it's the over. But the point is that he's not the long-term answer.
Mm-hmm.
He is a stopgap that could really make a difference for a rookie quarterback. When you have bookend wide receivers, Courtney, of DJ Moore on one side, Keenan Allen on the other, that's good. But I just know that's not the long-term plan. Like DJ Moore is, I don't think Keenan Allen is. And because of that, you got to have another wide receiver to kind of grow with Caleb Williams. They both come up together, you know, in the same draft. And so hopefully that wide receiver is a long-term answer, and that's better than Tyler Scott. That's better than Velus Jones and whoever else is on, and Dante Pettis, who somehow creeped his way back onto the depth chart.
I think he was actually, I think he was in the building the whole time.
In the corner office?
He was just living there. Going. And they brought him out because we had no idea. The day that free agency press conference happened on a Friday, I guess it would have been like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they're like, hey guys, Dante Pettis signed and he's here to talk to you. It's like, where did he come from? So I'm fully convinced that when they put him on season-ending IR last year, he just stayed in the building.
Now,
he was living in the training room, you know, what you want to see from your guys.
Sure. Well, I was going to ask, as a reporter with a keen eye, did you see Dante Pettis come in with, like, a briefcase and his little lunch? Because that means he's been in the building. He's in a corner office someplace. All right. Morning, guys. Dante? Have you been in the building the entire time? Why do you have a key card to the bathroom? That's odd. Looks like he's been here the entire time.
I'm convinced.
It's just in the corner office. Makes no sense. So that's why if the wide receiver's there at 9, Courtney, I'm totally fine with that because you got to think about the future after mm-hmm. Keenan Allen.
And I know that people have been asking me a lot on social media, hey, where's that extension for Keenan Allen? Did they really just trade a fourth-round pick, their own fourth-round pick, for him for a year? I don't rule out an extension happening at any point. Like, they're not in a rush to do it.
Yes.
First and foremost, if you go back to owners' meetings, when I asked Ryan Poles about how, like, what's on the table there, he said he wanted to be strategic with the timing of extensions and that kind of makes you think that there might be some others in the mix before they get to a Keenan Allen, who's, I think it's, you know, last year of the current deal. I would imagine however many more years, it'll be a two-year deal.
That's what
roughly.
I believe. I think he's going to be for 2 years. Yeah.
But to get a receiver in, so it's you solve the problem for now and for later with that pick.
That's right.
And you can do that with defensive end, with a pass rusher, too. You could do it with a defensive end. You could also wait and
reach.
Go get a Byron. What's that?
Breach on the defensive end.
They
yeah.
said reach, and then
no,
I was that preach. Was actually that was actually going to like spiral me down to Byron Murphy. So
just ignore that, Jackaloon. Go ahead. What's your train of thought?
No, I mean like that could solve a for now and a for later problem, but like the edge rusher class and the value on that position versus what the receiver value is of those high end guys, the mm-hmm. top three prospects. I think you have a better chance of hitting on that and waiting until maybe 75 to get somebody who could be, you know, in a third down package and using what you already have on the roster elsewhere for your pass rush to upgrade a spot that has been an issue.
Yes.
I mean, depth was the biggest issue. If your depth, using air quotes,
yes.
depth is Roma Dunsay, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that helps.
That's a top five receiver room in the NFL, bar none.
Yes. Now, what about the defensive line, though? Let's talk about that part of it. As we talk about the Bears and the number 9 pick on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show, we've been talking about the Bears defense, Courtney. So Montez Sweat being part of the team is great. And I said this to Cap a few times. I made it very clear. Like, everyone across your defensive line or your offensive line cannot be A-pluses. They're just, you're just not. It's just, it's inconceivable to say everybody on the team's an A+. If you do have a B+ or a B- on your team, it doesn't mean that your defense or your offensive line is bad. It's just that you have talent at a certain level. Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the Bears defense with Montez Sweat, they may like Andrew Billings. They may like him at nose tackle. They may like DeMarcus Walker. But of course, if you can, especially with younger assets, it'd be good to be able to upgrade it. And so I think that Eberflus has some influence in the room where he could say, hey, you know, I think our pass rush is good, but if we could just have a little bit more sprinkle, like we may like Javon Dexter, but we know that we can get a little bit more. If we could Can we bolster that? And I'm sure their polls could acquiesce. I could see that happening because the defense and getting to the quarterback, you covered a Bears team that could not get to the quarterback a couple years ago. Could not get there. Never can get home. It'd be good to be
able to get there until week nine.
Couldn't get there.
This year.
Which is amazing when you're a Bears fan. Because it's always been about defense and running the football. So I just think, could you see a scenario, because I can, of the Bears saying, we just need a little bit more on their pass rush in this draft to address
absolutely. You can see a scenario there. And depending upon what Atlanta does at eight, if you have every defensive player available to you because they go offense and offense goes one through eight, you're going to be in a tough spot to say no to a Dallas Turner who, like, when you take a look at the top three pass rush prospects, Liatu Latu, Jared Verse, and Dallas Turner, like, the first two guys I mentioned have, you know, they hit their ceiling in college of, like, because they obviously from the amount, from the age, experience, all those things.
Right.
Dallas Turner played two seasons of college football at Alabama. He's 21. He just turned 21. He's young. He's more of an unfinished product that I'm sure if they're looking at him and just seeing the versatility for scheme, he could be in a 3-4, he could be in a 4-3 with his hand in the dirt. Like, that's probably enticing your defensive head coach where if they feel that for now the receiver position's in a spot that's going to take Caleb Williams and help him through his rookie season, I could see an argument for going after the top pass rusher available. Because that's, like, in terms of need, your biggest need right now, your biggest hole in the roster is who's playing opposite Sweat.
Yep.
Your biggest hole is not receiver right now, but in terms of best player available, in terms of positional value, and coupled with that fifth-year option that you get for taking a first-round pick, it's hard to make the argument against going after an impact player that opposing defenses have to account for wherever he is on the field at every single minute he's out there.
If you're on hold, you will be on the air. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Who's that one player that you want the Bears to take at number nine? And also, jump in on our discussion, Bears fans, about what the Bears roster looks like, the things that you like, and things that they need to fill on this roster as we get closer and closer to the draft. Cap and Jay Hood with Courtney Cronin in for Cap on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with Courtney Cronin in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood. Now time for Shot or No Shot on this Friday morning. It's brought to you by...
That would be ESPN Bet. Now live in Illinois. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets with any sportsbook bet. We say good morning to Shay W. Norling. Good morning, Cap. Thank you. Courtney, Hoodie, how are we?
We're all fine. All three of us. Thank you.
That was a weird, like, third person thing you just did there.
Every time he's not here, I have to do it.
Well, who else is going to read that?
I would have read it. No, am I not allowed to?
It's Cap's read. He has to do it.
You can't read that.
He unfortunately has to do it.
Yes.
Can't escape him even when he's off.
It's either Cap or Jim Harbaugh that has to read that.
Sherrone Moore. These guys did it, man. Sherrone Moore. Okay. Run into the kiosk to cash his ticket. Thank you, ESPN.
That's exactly what happened.
J.J. McCarthy, he can read it.
Yes. You know, I also, Courtney, you know what's great? Are your headphones tight? I love when you're doing a read, you're holding it.
Yeah, because it's a little loose on my right ear.
Like a DJ.
I know. I feel cool.
She's like a rapper.
She is. That's right. I love that.
Turn me up in the head.
I don't know if I can be trusted to freestyle on these airwaves, though.
Diss Drake. Courtney, diss Drake. Join the crowd. Join the 1v20.
Waiting on that Kendrick Lamar track to drop. It's been long enough.
Okay, here's your beat.
Come on, Courtney.
Go ahead, Courtney.
I can't freestyle.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm not doing it.
It was right there. Awful Announcing was on bait. The guys at Awful Announcing on the edge of their seat.
Courtney Cronin now doing freestyle rap. Listen. All right, here it comes. The beat is coming right here. Right here.
I'm not doing this. I'm not Taylor Swift. I don't have enough to talk about.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm the hood Mona Lisa.
Oh,
oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, mic drop. No, yes.
That's what I'm there. So that's Megan Thee Stallion's lyrics on Saturday.
That's what we wanted. There you have it right there. I knew you had it in you. You see?
Take that, awful announcing. See?
All right, Courtney.
There we go. There we go.
It's a one-time offer. It's never happening again.
There we go.
Don't worry, it'll be an awful announcing this afternoon.
Oh, I'm sure.
Capital J journalist.
That's exactly right. Unlike those people. That's exactly right. Those people. We just call them AA around here. Here.
Adam Abdallah.
Yes. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
I don't know how to transition into serious sports conversation after that.
Just read what's on your script.
NFL draft analyst Daniel Jeremiah put out a tweet about the interesting trade spots in the draft. Said one that stood out to him was the Bears, who could move from number 9 to number 6, trade up, vault ahead of Tennessee to draft Notre Dame left tackle Joe Alt, likely offering a 2025 pick or pick swap. He didn't specify what round or anything. But my question, shot or no shot, trading up for Joe Alt would be a mistake.
For the Bears, that's a shot. That's a shot. I would not do that. Like, listen, and I know that's an annoying question I ask you almost every other appearance here, but I am interested in, when I ask you about the offensive line, Courtney, I always say, did the Bears get a start? Did they get a starter or two starters potentially for the offensive line in this offseason? And I get Ryan Bates, and I see Coleman Shelton, I see Matt Pryor. Is Bates the center? And again, for the Bears, they do have other needs. I don't think offensive line is something you address at 9.
If they are in love with Joe Alt, like if this is the can't-miss prospect, which we – I don't know if we have any reason to believe that yet. And I was asked this yesterday. Remember, like, last year we didn't find out about how much homework they did on Darnell Wright until after the draft, and we find out it was just this insane process that they went through to really make sure he was the guy, and they did it the year before with Braxton Jones.
Yeah.
If they draft Joe Alt – if they end up trading up, because you have to get in front of Tennessee to do that. I mean, hell, you may even need to get in front of the Chargers. Like, if he's there at 5,
sure,
and they're not trading out because Arizona just traded with the Minnesota Vikings to go get J.J. McCarthy, mm-hmm, then I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. To me, going... he may be the best prospect in this draft. I just have a concern with a 6'9" offensive lineman.
That's fair. But when we look at this depth chart, though, mm-hmm, is this the offensive line? Can you go to the season with that?
What is it?
With the Bears offensive line.
With the yes.
Because
you have a quarterback who can handle broken down plays, mm-hmm, and can make a lot out of nothing. I think the offense, like you mentioned earlier, you're never going to have an A+ offensive line.
You just won't.
You're never going to have Pro Bowlers from, you know, left tackle all the way to right tackle. For those who look at Braxton Jones and refer to Ryan Poles' comments that he made in January that he thinks he's starting left tackle, but if they are open to bringing in competition for that position, I think you can get through one more year of that before you address going to get a franchise left tackle, because to trade up means you're probably giving up that 2025 second to go from like 9 to 6, mm-hmm, you're probably giving up that 2025 second that you got from Carolina.
So Jones,
and I don't think that that's worth it.
So Jones, Jenkins, say it's Ryan Bates, Nate Davis, and Darnell Wright.
I think you can go. Yeah, absolutely. I think you can go into the season that way.
Shay.
All right, it's still early, but Brad Biggs already putting some Bears players on watch. Put out his bubble to make the 2024 roster. The players included punter Trenton Gill, edge rusher Dominique Robinson, and wide receiver Velus Jones. Biggs noted that the conscious effort to get Velus Jones involved in 2023 was there. They gave him a lot of opportunities with very uneven results. Shot or no shot, Velus Jones will make the team in 2024.
I think that's a shot. Look.
God almighty.
I know. And I get if you are looking, I'm trying to pull up their depth chart right now.
Oh, come on.
Like,
now where are you, what's your source there?
What's that?
What's your source?
I'm using our lads. I don't use because apparently, remember, I'm the one responsible for the ESPN one not working.
I was
Does he still say Tevin Jenkins is questionable?
Yes, because of your depth chart here that you have here. We talked about this the other day, didn't we, Shay? Like, I think both tight ends were questionable. Yeah, Komet and Everett are questionable.
Yeah, not sure they're going to be ready for week one.
So not sure, according to your sources here. But it's fun. It's so funny you say that because you see my tab open. I'm looking at our lads.
That's always what I use. I have very little control over the one at .com. I think Velus, they have made effort after effort to get him onto the roster, to give him a chance, but like, I don't think it's going to be if the receiver depth chart works out to where it is DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, and then hopefully for Tyler Scott's sake. I know that there are a lot of people who weren't thrilled about the way that last season went, and you can go back to the Detroit game, you can go back to, I believe it was the Denver game, but there were moments that were, you know, you wanted to see the growth happen a little bit quicker. Their biggest issue was the development of their depth. They have a new receivers coach that they're really keen on, somebody who worked with DJ Moore in college, somebody who was with Keenan Allen in Los Angeles. That hopefully develops the rest of the room to where they can use Velus Jones in certain packages. It probably won't be a lot, but he's a serviceable asset for you on special teams, on kickoff and punt return, and right now he projects, you know, to have a heavy role there.
And kickoffs are back with the new rules.
Yes, they are.
Yes. I just...
Richard Hightower's got to be pumped about that.
I didn't like the draft pick at the time because,
it was a reach.
From college football years.
That was a bad year.
He's 35 with three kids and smoking with a mortgage. That's what he was coming out of college. Mm-hmm. I was like, boy, he's got a lot of tread on his tires. And listen, maybe with a new offensive coordinator, you're right. I could be optimistic and say there could be a certain section of plays that could be there for Velus Jones, similar to Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm just saying, like, you know, sometimes you don't have to outdumb the room. If he's just not effective, if he's not what you want offensively, then you can cut him. I'd just rather have someone that you can utilize as a extra, first of all, special teams depth, but also someone that could be able to be multifaceted in special teams as well as being an extra wide receiver for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that just wasn't it. Not at the time and not now.
In the last 2 years, they had to justify, like, giving him all these opportunities because he was the first, like, part of that first draft class. He did use a day two pick on him. The runway for him is shortened in year three. And if they do, if he has a bad camp and he's muffing punts and you see a lot of the same things that we saw going into the season last year, then he's probably not making the roster. But the other names you mentioned there, like, I don't know, Trenton Gill always catches strays. I didn't think he had an awful season last year. I think Dominique Robinson is probably the leader of those three names you mentioned, Shay, to not make the roster. The guy was inactive for like five games last year.
He had a great game 1 year.
The San Francisco game?
It's that one time. He can hold that up and put that on his wall. That one game, outstanding. But the rest of it, not so much.
Yeah.
So I will say that is a shot, even though I'm not a fan of it, Shay, unless there's someone that's going to blow him out of the water or blow the offense out of the water. Like, yeah, this guy's better than Jones. I'll just say shot for now. Shay?
All right, the door is open, Hoodie, for the Chicago Bulls in the play-in tonight. Jimmy Butler out for the Miami Heat. Interestingly, though, the Heat are still 1.5-point favorites. Line opened at 3. Butler being out, not enough to make the Bulls a road favorite in this game. Heat will rely heavily on Jaime Jaquez and Bam Adebayo and others. But shot or no shot, the Bulls will win tonight and make the playoffs.
That's it. To me, that is a shot. My question is, though, before I'm so, you know, boastful about this, is that what is the condition of Alex Caruso? Mm-hmm. Limited or out?
The last I it still have heard optimism that he'll be able to play. The swelling was down.
The big oaf. Andre Drummond stepping on his foot. Hey, man, he's in a black uniform like you're in a black uniform. Move out of the way.
It's a game time decision.
Wasn't Drummond also the one on that dunk?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
When they both like had like a miscommunication somehow going towards the same basket.
Yes, that did happen. Yes. That's one thing. And you say, well, why is Alex Caruso matter? Alex Caruso, for the time on the floor, makes a big difference for this Bulls team. Don't look at the box score as far as points. Don't look at, you know, the rebounding, just the little things that he does just to be able to keep things together. Caruso is important for the team. I have not been enamored at all, Courtney, with this Heat team. I know that their mission statement is about how tough they are and how, you know, how diligent they are as a team, this Heat culture thing. It's just not a very good basketball team. And I feel like, you know, as much as we get after the Bulls management, the Heat, I think Riley is settled in and doesn't have any new ideas. When it comes to top-notch free agents, who wouldn't want to play with a place with no state tax in Miami? And somehow he doesn't seem to get the big fish. He just likes to get reclamation projects and shine them up and put them out there. Like, this ain't the Patriots of Belichick. You got, in this league, you need stars or difference makers. I don't think that they don't know how to do that right now. So I would say that's a shot. The Bulls can get it done.
I know that I was waffling on this coming in. Hawkes is going to replace Butler in the lineup, and they got a lot out of, what was it, Max Strus the other night? Scored like 25.
Not for the Heat. No.
Sorry, Tyler Hero. Sorry, my bad.
Same.
Thinking about last year's roster.
Same.
They're at home. It should favor them, but Jimmy Butler not being there is probably the dagger for me. I don't know. I'm not, as you can tell kind of in my waffling on this answer, I want to care about this game.
It's tight.
I'm trying to get up for this.
Yeah.
But I know what awaits them on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the Bulls will win tonight on the road. They're healthier by and large. They're not missing their best player right now. And Kobe White just came off a career high. I'm cool with that gentleman sweep in the first round. So, yeah, give me the Bulls tonight. They will pull off the 1.5-point upset. It's not really, I mean, the line's basically even.
Yeah. Shay?
All right, one of the sport's great dynasties might be at its end after the Warriors lost earlier this week. There's some rumors flying around. Klay Thompson, could his time in Golden State be done? Draymond Green, everybody's always asking if his time in Golden State is done. Steve Kerr said he sees no value in breaking up their core, even though that core is starting to age out. But shot or no shot, the Warriors dynasty is finally dead.
That's a shot.
I align.
Yeah, that's a shot. And here's why. So when you look at this team, I knew when the Warriors picked up Chris Paul, I go, oh, that's the end. Because Chris Paul has just been always been the bridesmaid, but never the bride. He's a Hall of Famer, there's no question, but often injured. The things that derailed the Warriors are the following. Chris Paul's injury, Draymond Green's suspension, the ineptitude of Klay Thompson, Klay Thompson having to go on the bench for Podziemski. I mean, so what I'm looking at is a team that's at the end, Shay. And it happens to everybody, right? You age out of it. As much as we respect Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and they may give him another deal. They very well could. But at the same time, they got to figure out what they want to do with a guy like Andrew Wiggins. They got to figure that out. It's more than likely that he may not be with the team this upcoming offseason. So, you know, this team had a nice run. But look at the young and upcoming teams in the West. Now look what's happened. We play taps for the Bay Area, Golden State Warriors. That'll be all. Thanks for coming. But, I mean, there's a young and upcoming teams that we talk about all the time, Courtney, that's in the West, that the Warriors, once good, just don't have it anymore.
They have every chance to get out from under some contracts, too. I mean, Chris Paul's got a year left, but it's like $30 million not guaranteed. He's going to be 39 next month.
Yeah.
Klay didn't score a point the other night.
Right.
But the regression there, it sucks. Like, I covered that team when they were at their peak, the 2015 through 17. Like, this is what happens when your superstars age. And I know a lot of people are going to look at this and say, well, Steph's still playing great. There's the whole rest of the team and expensive contracts, regrettable contracts, which is probably what they're thinking about the Draymond Green extension that he got a couple years ago. I get where Steve Kerr is coming from on that, Shay, because he doesn't want to coach a rebuild. Because they've been at the pinnacle, and they went through a quasi tear down year, the 2020 year, when Steph got the hand injury and they didn't make the playoffs. It's the first time they haven't made the playoffs since then. They were able to come back and they won a title. I think that that's where it should rest. Where without pushing this thing forward and trying to become, you know, a version of what like the Lakers are and trying to push this thing through with LeBron for one more title before time runs out there. Like you've. 33 to 35-year-old former and still superstars that You've run yeah. your course with it.
Yeah, Mike Dunleavy says that he's interested in bringing Klay Thompson back to the team. But I just think here's one thing, Shay, I did find out.
They're going to bid against themselves then.
I think so. Just to keep Steph happy, whatever the reason for that. But what I found out, Shay, last couple of days is Golden State, for the first time in a while, I don't think they're going to go into the tax. They're going to try not to. So do you know what that means? I mean, it's kind of like the old team into a rebuild.
You know what the dagger really was for me? And I know they came back and won a title after this, so it's hard to say it ended it. But I think longevity-wise, this is why. Is they had that season where Steph and Klay were hurt, and they were one of the worst teams in the NBA, and they had that lottery pick, and they blew it on the dead body of James Wiseman. If they hadn't done that, if they had gotten a serviceable young player, they might still be at the top of the sport.
Yeah, I mean, so there you have. But again, Oklahoma City and Denver and Minnesota, the Mavericks, I mean, Clippers, above them as far as a team. Those are teams that are on the rise or championship-level teams, and the Golden State Warriors just older. That's all it is. There's a reason why the handsome Bob Myers is at ESPN and not with the Warriors anymore, because he saw it coming. Coming up around the NFL, Jesse Rogers on baseball at 8:35. All part of the mix on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood. You're officially locked in. Throw your hands up in the sky. On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the NFL right here on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you to go to our YouTube, youtube.com. Look for ESPN Chicago and hit that subscribe button. That way you miss nothing from ESPN Chicago, including the Cap and J-Hood YouTube channel as well. It's brand new. Check it out. Hit that subscribe button. That way you never miss anything from our show, Cap and J-Hood. Around the NFL with Courtney Cronin in for Cap, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Just a couple days after I thought that my candle-laden prayer shrine for Drake May was working a lot of magic, we have odds movement.
Were you still doing that?
Oh, yeah. Until the draft, yes.
I remember when you did it in March. I thought that was a one-time thing.
No, it's been there. It's every night.
A lot of candles.
Every night.
So now
gotta reset them.
Because your wife is at the bachelorette party, I assume that you did it last night. And she probably didn't have to witness that.
Yeah, it's expanded to the whole house now. Okay. Candles around the entire home. I have photos of Drake May on the wall.
I like that.
I am manifesting Drake May to New England. There is odds movement, though, as Drake May and Jaden Daniels are now about a wash to go second in the draft to Washington. Obviously, if we had done this 6 months ago, the presumptive case was Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2. And there was really no question about it. Up until all the speculation the last few months, it felt like that was just going to be the case. But then the Jaden Daniels train started and all the hype nationally for him got steamed to he's going to be the number 2 pick. Was it really just Caleb and then Drake this entire time and everybody was speculating over nothing?
No, but you know, it's like anything else. The rumor innuendo comes, you know, through the through Indianapolis, where you have a certain asset, a certain player, Shay, at one level, and all of a sudden, oh, Jaden Daniels, have you seen what he did in the combine? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I always thought that Drake May is a better quarterback too, and maybe I'm be proven right that he will be right underneath Caleb Williams. But for your standpoint, you want for Washington to love Jaden Daniels. You want him
to be,
because that really is the next RG3. You heard it here first. Before the injuries, by the way.
Sure.
And I mean,
there are concerns about durability with him.
That's right.
How slight he is.
That's right. But you know, for some markets, it's about the flash, right? The sizzle more so than the steak. Look at this guy running out of the pocket, Courtney. Look at him. Look at the electricity. Well, Drake May, I think, is just a solid quarterback. And as a Patriot, that would be amazing. Because I just think he's very steady.
There's the idea that the Patriots are going to trade out of that pick and maybe try to move back to where Minnesota is to go get another quarterback at that spot. I don't think you take a gap year here if you're the Patriots. I think you stay at 3, and if Washington is going to make that choice to go after Jaden Daniels, then you stay at 3 and you take the, we all thought going into this draft process was the second best quarterback on the board. this is kind of what we were talking about with Lewis Riddick's point that he made about, you know, doing your due diligence, the homework, but also the conversation about prospects flipping order. Mm-hmm. Would you be shocked by the end of this if it's the order that we initially thought? No, you wouldn't, because there's a reason that that was the initial order, because you're going, you don't have all the extra time removed from the end of the season. You're not convoluted with the thoughts of pro day throws and what you saw with these guys at the combine. It makes sense as to why their odds are basically even. Is that what you said, Shay? That they're
about even now. Which wasn't the case 2 days ago. 2 days ago, it was Jaden Daniels like minus 400, minus 350. Now they're both about minus 115.
The Patriots are not interested in McCarthy, are they, Shay?
They brought him in.
I actually think if Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy are both on the board at three, they'd be more likely to take McCarthy than they would be to take Jaden Daniels.
Oh, I don't think you need a gap year. I didn't think you needed one of
those. Well, you know, I got to tell you, it's like Courtney read my sheet, because the next thing I was going to bring up was Patriots general manager Elliot Wolf yesterday on the podium being asked, do you need a quarterback at three, and answering no. I don't know what general manager without the number one pick would answer that question yes ahead of the draft, but sure. So they asked him that, and then he went out and said, we are open for business as far as trading the pick. This is just like a PSA to every team that's talking about this, because I also read the Giants might be interested in passing on quarterback in the top 10 of the first round and going with, like, Bo Nix in the second round.
See, that's when you need a Belichick in the room.
I'm telling you.
Because he would show you nothing. Hey, he wasn't great at the draft, but the point is, though, you got no information out of there. For them to be that wide open, there's your anti-Belichick right there.
Right. But my point is, like, when you're picking this high in the draft and you don't have a franchise quarterback, take a quarterback. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Well, like, could also be that everybody's lying right now in these pre-draft press conferences.
Of course.
What time have we ever gone into a pre-draft press conference ever and gotten real information about what a team's going to do or not do?
Well, that's like yesterday, Courtney. I said all of the smoke about Minnesota trading up, it's so much that I don't believe it's going to happen.
Well, see,
think they're going to stay at 11?
Yeah, this thing's so telegraphed, I actually don't believe they're going to do it.
The answer to the question is not yes or no. That's the point, Courtney. Like, that's not, like, we're making our evaluations. Do you need a quarterback? Well, we're trying to figure it out. We're working toward making the football team better. The BS that you hear every day from football people, right? Don't show your hand. Like, we don't need a quarterback, and then you end up having a quarterback. What changed? Mm-hmm. Why did you lie to me? Right? Pretty much. That's what you're asking, right?
I mean, but he could have been doing it as a very matter of fact. No, they don't need a quarterback because they have Jacoby Brissett on the roster. Could be. I'm just trying to think through all the logical scenarios.
Oh, please.
Bridge guy.
If that's the process, welcome me, Bears fans. I'm coming. If the process is Jacoby Brissett's good enough for us,
that's funny.
I'm out.
Bridge guy.
I'm out.
Let me get one. Can we get one more before Jesse?
Enough mock drafts. I log on to ESPN.com this morning, and I see Bill Barnwell's all-trade mock draft. Here's how this puppy starts. The Bears trade the number one pick in the draft to Jacksonville for Trevor Lawrence.
We're done.
In the blurb, he says, would either team entertain this? No, of course not. Then what's the point of doing it? We don't need an all-trade mock draft. Like,
his
we're
logic
so
on it wasn't
bored.
Terrible.
I get it. The logic's fine. But we're so bored that we have to write up a piece of 32 things that will never happen? What's the point?
He has a quota he has to fill every week of 25,000 words in an article. So he max that out right there.
That's fine. But no one asked him to write a fiction novel.
Yeah, I would have rather read Bill Barnwell's sci-fi short story. Hit your quota with that.
At least when you write it's facts. Every time you write, at least it's facts, it's quoted, and it's sourced. This is like, what if? Some kind of sorcery type of deal that he wrote there. It's fine.
We call that engagement.
I guess.
Courtney, can you do that for us? When you need to hit your quota and you just got nothing, can you just put up a sci-fi short story?
I wasn't serious about the quota thing, just to correct the record there. But yes, I will write a sci-fi story for you on... What do you want the subject matter to be?
That's up to you. Let's brainstorm it.
A Taylor Swift album?
Football no, it doesn't space. Need to be a Taylor Swift album. Yeah, football in space.
Football in space! That'd be awesome.
Let's cross over two interests here. Science fiction football.
You like a good conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah.
So that's this works. I think it would be wonderful. Be better than that. That we saw on ESPN.com, that's for sure.
Yeah, some political savvy and conspiracy going on in your science fiction football story. I think that'd be great.
I'll work on it.
I believe in you.
Before the draft.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
We got Jesse Rogers. Here's someone I don't believe in. Jesse Rogers, what are his thoughts on baseball, Cubs, Sox, and everything else that's coming up. Courtney Cronin's in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood. It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Come on.